It's very clear that the central theme of today's liturgy is prayer. Jesus speaks clearly about prayer in the Gospel, ask, seek, knock, some of the classic formulations of prayer. And then in the first reading, we have the beautiful and stirring prayer of Queen Esther, pleading for her life and for the salvation of her people. So a prayer. Now, we're not at square one here. This isn't the first time we've ever heard of prayer. It's not the first time we've ever heard this gospel. So we should not make the mistake that people so often make. People hear the gospel, says, ask, seek, knock, and then they immediately reduce prayer to just asking for things, as if that's the whole story. We know that's not true. So don't isolate what Jesus says in this gospel from what he has said in the whole gospel, including what he said just during this season of Lent, or just what we've done today so far. Prayer includes asking, seeking, knocking, which we refer to usually as prayers of petition. That is a legitimate, valid, important part of prayer. But if we reduce prayer simply to asking God for things, if we eliminate all other aspects of prayer and just focus on petition, then we risk turning it into a transaction, a business deal. I ask, you give. I do my part, you do your part. That's what the theologians call transactional. And that's not what prayer is all about. I mean, maybe that's an aspect. But Jesus has already taught us very clearly that's not what prayer is about. This is the third time we've already been addressing prayer just during this season of Lent. Last Wednesday, meaning Ash Wednesday, Jesus said when you pray, don't pray like hypocrites. That's transactional, right? The hypocrites on Ash Wednesday, they were praying in public in order to get the affirmation of the onlookers. And Jesus said, they already have their reward. They got what they were looking for. They impressed everybody. They didn't really pray. He says, when you pray, you go to your room. You pray to your Father in secret, because it's not transactional, it's relational. Prayer's relational. So if we're connected to our Father in the secret of our hearts, we're praying. And if we're just impressing people by standing on the street corner, well then, we're not really praying at all. Then, the other day, was it 2 days ago? Jesus, in that same section of the Sermon on the Mount, taught the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the beautiful prayer, the powerful prayer, the summary of prayer. How much of the prayer is petition? 1/7. Seven petitions in the Our Father. One of them is, give us this day our daily bread. Very important, but it's not the whole Our Father. We don't say, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. We say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, we know already that prayer is more than simply asking for what we want. Or we can just look at today, what we've done so far today. Before we got to the readings that said, ask, seek, and not knock, we started out with the sign of the cross. No, we started out with singing. Buksan, I mean, puso. And we start to honor the Lord with song, with the sign of the cross. We put ourselves in the presence, in the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we acknowledge our sinfulness. I confess to Almighty God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I've greatly sinned. I'm not worthy of the transaction, but here I am, Lord. I know you'll be merciful. Lord, have mercy. So even before we get to the readings, we've already been praying in many ways, and none of them are petitions. Then we got to the collect. This one struck me, so I wrote it down. The collect is what we used to call the opening prayer, but the traditional, the older name of this opening prayer is collect. It's related to the English word collect. They were gathering together. So what are we gathering together? Well, all of ourselves and our thoughts and our hearts before God. And we're putting ourselves before God. And this is what the collect of today's Mass says. You can tell right away it's about prayer. It is a prayer, but it's also about the theme of today's liturgy, prayer. So this is what we said. This is what the priest said on behalf of the whole community. Bestow on us, we pray, O Lord, a spirit of always pondering on what is right. Now, since this is our pondering day and people are here because of the pondering group, you see how pondering is at the very heart of the liturgy. And it's not only pondering the word, but pondering what is right. So bestow on us, we pray, O Lord, a spirit of always pondering on what is right and of hastening to carry it out. So we live from inside out. What we ponder, we put into practice. We ponder what's right, we hasten to carry it out. And the prayer continues. These prayers are very dense. No, they're packed. So you have to let them expand as we think about them. So we're asking for this spirit of pondering. We're asking to be able to hasten to carry out what we ponder. And since without you we cannot exist, there's an acknowledgement. It's not a petition. It's just an acknowledgement. We can't even exist without you. May we be enabled to live according to your will through our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. So it's quite a prayer. Now, in the old translation of this prayer, it went this way. And those of you who pray the morning prayer or Liturgy of the Hours and the older books still have this version or this translation of the prayer. It went this way. Father, without you, we can do nothing. So you can see it's the same idea, but not quite as complete. The old one is, without you, we can do nothing. But the newer version is, without you, we cannot exist. So are we talking about doing or being? What's deeper? Being. We can't even exist. We don't have anything without you. We can't just do anything without you, but we can't exist. By your Spirit, help us to know what is right and to be eager in doing your will. So it doesn't mention pondering, but it does mention knowing what is right. So, okay, so all of that beautiful prayer before we got to the Gospel or to Queen Esther. My point being that it's very clear from what we do in the liturgy that prayer is not limited to prayers of petition, that prayer is not just transaction, but prayer is relational. Okay, now let's turn to these readings. Let's start with the Gospel because this is the one that everybody knows. Prayer is, ask and you shall receive. Very beautiful encouragement. It's from the mouth of Jesus himself. So we're not making it up. That's what we do. We ask and we receive. The difficulty comes when we ask and we don't receive. And then it seems as if Jesus has not said the truth about what really happens. We ask, we don't receive. We seek, we don't find. We're knocking and knocking and knocking, nothing, no opening. And then we start to wonder, well, what is this? What is Jesus talking about here? Well, what are we asking for, first of all? I mean, I could ask for a helicopter. I could ask for a long, long time. I might, probably, will never get a helicopter. Well, why? Why didn't Jesus give what I asked for? Well, because it's not good for me. That's not what I need. Then this is where we're not talking about a transaction. We're talking about relationship. And Jesus immediately brings this, ask, seek, and knock, into the relationship of a son with his father. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread? So now we're talking about not just asking like putting money into the vending machine, but we're talking about talking to our father the way a child speaks to a loving father. And if we ask our father, can I have a loaf of bread? Well, what's he going to give us? He's going to give us what will satisfy our need for food. I sometimes wish Jesus would have used the opposite example. What if the son asks for a stone? Because here he says, which one of you would give his son a stone if he asked for a loaf of bread? Well, asking for something good like a loaf of bread, okay, you can understand it. He wouldn't give something bad. But what if he's asking for something bad? Bad for him. What if instead of asking for a fish, he asks for a snake? Well, and that's a way of interpreting what we sometimes ask for. things that are maybe not bad in themselves. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the helicopter, but it would not be good for me to receive. So, and a lot of what we ask God for is either not good or not good for us. And our Father who loves us will not give us what's not good for us or what's not good for us right now. That's a way of understanding the relationship. Even though it's very obvious to us that it's good, he doesn't give it. The whole church for the last month, almost a whole month now, has been praying for Pope Francis. We asked, we sought, we knocked and knocked. Millions and millions of people praying for the Pope. Well, now he's recovering a little bit, right? He's out of immediate danger, but he's still in the hospital. In other words, when we started praying for the Pope on the first day, we didn't immediately get the answer that we were looking for. We didn't receive what we asked for. Even the Pope didn't. I don't know what he was praying for. I'm not sure if he was praying for healing or just praying, your will be done. In any case, it's clear that even the transactional side of prayer, or even the prayer of petition, is not as simple as it sounds in this gospel. Even if we do ask for a loaf of bread, or for something that's clearly good, we have to allow God to evaluate what's good and what's the right time. Let's turn to Queen Esther, the beautiful witness of prayer in the Old Testament. Queen Esther, she is an orphan who has, by marvelous providence, been taken into the household of the king. She's a queen. But her people, the Jews, are slated for destruction. The day is set. All the Jews are going to be massacred. And who can talk to the king about this? Well, it falls to Queen Esther. So here she's preparing for her to approach the king, to try to change his mind. Now, that's not what we're doing when we're praying. We're not approaching a dangerous king who we have to change his mind. We're approaching a loving father. But it feels like it, and in Esther's case, she really is approaching a dangerous situation, and she's pleading before God for help. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help us. Save us. It's a prayer from the depths of her heart. She's fasting. She's weeping. She's praying. She's beseeching. It's a prayer of petition, but not just to ask for things, but to throw herself into the arms of God. You see, she doesn't know if she can trust the king, the political machinery that's turned against her people. But she knows she can trust in God, and that's what she does. That's why she's a great example of prayer. Come, help me, save me, save me. Does she immediately get an answer to her prayer? No. If you know the story of Esther, it takes a little while. First of all, she has to continue her prayer. And after, 3 days of fasting? Then she puts on her beautiful clothes and her makeup, and she goes into the king. And does she say, King, save my people? No. She says, come for dinner. Or I want to have a little banquet. And she doesn't make, I don't want to get into the whole story of Esther, but my point is, it's not an immediate response to her heartfelt prayer, a very beautiful and profound prayer, and she doesn't get it an immediate answer. And she's the example that the liturgy is giving us. So when we pray, we should not reduce prayer to a demand for an immediate response or a transaction. Prayer, and we learn this again and again and again, is to place ourselves in the presence of God, or to unite our heart with the heart of God. When we do that, then yes, we can present to him everything that we're longing for, that we need, that we're concerned about, that grieves us or that gives us hope. We can share with God heart to heart. Whatever is in our heart, we can turn to prayer. It becomes part of the relationship. But then we have to accept that he knows what is good for us and trust that he'll answer our prayer in the way that is best for us. That's prayer. So that's part of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. If we don't get the prayer part, we probably won't understand the fasting and the almsgiving part either. But they all go together because it's all part of uniting our heart with the heart of God and then responding to others the way God responds to them. That's the little catch here at the end of the gospel. Maybe you notice this. After a whole instruction on prayer, suddenly Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you. He said, what? What? I thought you were talking about prayer. What did you throw that in there for? And why did the liturgy keep this verse? It's very clear that he's talking about asking, seeking, knocking. He's talking about if you know how to give good gifts to your children, your heavenly Father knows how to give good things to those who ask him. It's clearly about prayer. And then all of a sudden, do to others whatever you would have them do to you. It's as if he suddenly turned the page or pulled this out of the blue. No. No, because when we unite our heart with the heart of God, then we start to relate to others the way God relates to them. We start to see them the way God sees them, and then we want to do for them what not only what they want, what they do to us, but what we want God to do for us. You see, our prayer and our relationship with others is inseparable. Not only when we're praying for others, but in all of our prayers, it's inseparable from our relationship with others, because love of God and love of neighbor go together. So this is a beautiful lesson from this school of prayer, which is the liturgy. Let us continue to ponder it and put it into practice.